Okay, so let's get into the Yismach Yisrael's Torahs for the month of Adar. So on page 20 in the back, Ma'oran Shel Yisrael, he has a small piece on Rosh Chodesh Adar, and he shares an idea that's not, again, uniquely his own idea. There were tzaddikim who lived quite a bit before him, who had this idea, but he develops it slightly in his own way, and it's a very chashuv idea if you've never heard it before. B'Rosh Chodesh Adar Amar B'Shulchan Ahor. The Rebbe said over at his pure table, by the Tish on Rosh Chodesh Adar, the Rebbe said the following idea. Isa B'Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Beitza Tezvav Amud Beis. Harotze Shiyiskaimu Nechasov Yata Behen Eder. If a person wants his Nechasim, his possessions, Shiyiskaimu, that they should last. You want to have business success. Is it about a summer internship? Good help. Shtablus helps. Hashem put us in a physical world for a reason. So yeah, will getting an internship and learning the business help you to be successful in business? Yeah, it'll help. Is doing well in school a good way to have success in business? Yes. Is working hard a good way to have success? Sure. Right, but more than all of those things, if you want your business ventures to be matzliach, so the Gemara says you should plant an Aleph Dalet Reish tree in your property. You should plant an other tree. Or maybe the tree is actually pronounced an Eder tree. You should plant this tree, and that's what? It's a strange Gemara. It's a segula? It's like some magic trick. So again, think just historically, that we're talking about an agricultural society. So people, let's say a guy is a farmer, he plants wheat. So, says the Gemara in Beitza, in addition to all the wheat that you're planting and harvesting, you should make sure that you have an Aleph Dalet Reish tree in your yard. It's good luck for success. What does that mean? And the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Shene'emar Adir Bamarom Hashem. Adir is a lesson of strength. Adir Bamarom Hashem. So if you want to have a strong season with your crops, you should plant an Eder tree, an Adar tree, an Aleph Dalet Reish tree in your yard. What does that mean? Va'amar huzal, so the Rebbe explained, Nechasim nikra'u kol masha adam machnis la'atzmo. Uvechlal ze midos umasim. What does it mean, nechasim? So the literal translation is one's possessions. And the literal meaning of the Gemara is if you want to have success with your possessions. Again, with the things you're trying to amass in this world. With all of your business pursuits. But explains the Alexander Rebbe, it's more than that. Nechasim means, again, interesting lashon. It's like misha nechnas adar, he's saying. Things that you're machnis, things that you bring in to your life, to your world, anything you want to acquire. It's not just talking about how can I increase my cash flow. Anything you want to acquire, he says, including midos umaisim, including character. Certain character traits you want to develop and work on, including certain actions. So if you want to be able to hold on to anything that you're involved with, if you want anything that you're involved with to have what? To have lasting power. You want it to have havaya. Havaya means existence. If you want it to exist, and what that means is you want it to be attached to the source of all existence, meaning Hashem. So says the Yismach Yisrael, so how do I make sure that everything I'm involved with, everything I'm working on, again, whether it's a more obviously spiritual thing or whether it's just a more mundane thing, but if I want it to have connection to the source of all existence, to Hashem, so how do I do that? Says the Gemara, plant an Aleph Dalet Reish, which was a type of tree, amongst your possessions, in your field, in your territory. Plant Adar in your midst. What does that mean? Shenemar Adir Bamarom Hashem. What does that mean? Sheasim b'machshavto, b'sha she'osa ma'asim tovim, she'akol mikolach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean to plant Adar amongst yourself? Mishenichnas Adar, as the Sfasemis explains, Mishenichnas Adar. It's not about us entering other, it's about letting other enter us. We should nichnas other. Let other come in. What does it mean to let other in? We still don't know what this other is. I mean, again, the Gemara says plant this other tree. And the Gemara brings a pasuk, Adir Bamarom Hashem, which is a description of God's strength. It says the Yismach Yisrael, exactly. Plant amongst yourself an awareness of the strength of Hashem. It connects to what we learned yesterday so beautifully, the piece from Rav Schwab. How the Jews, when they were fighting against Shushan, the city of Shushan, they were a little bit too confident that they can handle it on their own without God. They don't need God to help them win the battle. And because of that, Hashem had to show them, I'm the one who's in charge. And you're not going to be able to be victorious over Shushan on the first day. It took a second day of Purim for the Jews to understand, we can't win any battles without Hashem's help. So guess what? You can't make a dollar, you can't get a job, you can't find a wife, you can't do anything unless Hashem helps you to do that. So plant in your mind the firm awareness that Hakol Mikoach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything that you have and everything that you do and everything that you're trying to feel, you want to feel good, you want to be happy, that comes from Hashem. You want to feel strong, you want to feel confident, it comes from Hashem. You want to see actual financial success, it comes from Hashem. Ki Mimcha HaKol U'miyadcho Nasnu Lach. From you is everything. And all is given to us from you. So, of course, the Yismach Yisrael has to connect it to his general theme of what? Of humility. When a person realizes that all comes from Hashem, he's, again, what are the words? Eino machzik tivusa lenafshei klal. He does not take credit. Right? He doesn't assign the tov. Tivusa is just Aramaic for tov. He doesn't assign the good lenafshei to himself at all. He doesn't say, oh, kochi v'otzim yodi, was my strength and my efforts. That, like the Torah, hayispa'er hagarzan ala chotzev bo. What does it mean? That's one of the expressions we use in the Yom Noram when we describe the different relationships between us and Hashem. We're like clay in the hands of a potter. We're like an eved at the direction of its master. We're like a garzan to the chotzev. What's the garzan to the chotzev? Anyone know? Imagine an axe, right, saying to the wood chopper, right, look at my strength. Look how I chopped down that tree. Right, you're just a tool. You're literally just a tool in my hand. It's true, I couldn't have pushed down the tree without you. And Hashem actually feels about us that way. Hashem says, in a certain sense, kiviyachol, I can't bring my presence to the world without Klal Yisrael. Hashem is counting on us. But let's not get so haughty to think that we're the ones who are in charge. We're nothing other than what? We're the hammer in the hands of the carpenter. We're the axe in the hands of the wood chopper. We're not the one who's really lending the strength. We're just a tool. So in the times of Mordechai and Esther, Klal Yisrael understood how much they were just tools in the hands of Hashem. Shaz niskal in the kuda hapnimis shabalev. Amazing idea. That somehow on Purim, he says, we tap into the nekuda pnimis shabalev, the deepest part of the Jew. It's true about Hanukkah as well, it's true about Purim, it's true about Lag BaOmer. Some of the holidays that are the later holidays in history are much more connected to the innermost point. You know why? Because if you look in the Prit Tzadik, from the Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin, in Parshas Vayechi, Rav Tzadok quotes from Rav Simcha Bunim of Prashischa, Rav Yerbunim. Rav Simcha Bunim of Prashischa says that even though we believe in Yeridas Hadoros, which means that with each passing generation, in a certain sense, we're lower spiritually than the previous generations, we're farther away from Har Sinai. So in that sense, we don't know as much Torah as our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. We live in a world that is much more spiritually unrefined. Right? And what we consider a big Talmud Chacham today would have been a six-year-old literally two generations ago. Could have been a six-year-old two generations ago. Right? So there's a Yeridas HaDoros. There's certainly a descent throughout the generations. So says Rav Simcha Bunim of Prashischa, that's only true on an external level. Rav Simcha Bunim said an amazing thing. He said, the Nekuda Shebelev becomes more and more pure and refined with each passing generation. Now, you have to understand Chassidus well to understand that idea. Because what does it mean that I'm a wreck on the outside, but I'm like better than ever on the inside? Although, maybe you feel this way. I don't have such a hard time believing that. I've had very meaningful encounters and conversations with people who superficially are very disconnected from Judaism, from God, and from mitzvahs, from Shabbos, from kosher. Right? But when you get into like a real deep conversation with them, they're mamish, like the most fiery Jews you ever met. Then the kuda shabalev in pnimius, okay, they have to learn how to align their inner, you know, passion with something external. They're in an unhealthy balance. Right? But sometimes you see Jews with such unbelievable deep connection to God. For whatever reason, it's not expressing itself. That's why they're, you know, acting the way that they're acting. So in the later generations, as we get closer to Mashiach, it's true. Think about it. Think about it like this. We're farther away from Har Sinai with each passing generation, but we're that much closer to Mashiach with each passing generation. So if Har Sinai was the revelation of Torah in its outer form, and the Sfarim tell us that when Mashiach comes, we're going to experience Torah in its innermost form, so it makes sense. The earlier generations, right, were able to be much better than us on the outside. But as we get closer to Mashiach, something is being transformed inside of us to allow us and preparing us to receive Mashiach. So that's why some of the later Yom Tovim, right, the Yom Tovim that are not in the Torah, Purim is not in the Torah, not in a simple sense. Chanukah is not in the Torah. Right? Lag Bomer is not in the Torah. Tu B'Shvat is not in the Torah. Tu B'Av is not in the Torah. Right? So, some of these later Yom Tovim, and again, I'm calling them later both from a historical, chronological standpoint, and also things that have gotten more popular in recent years. Things that people are getting more connected to in a deeper way. Right? The Yom Tovim that we feel deeply connected to, that we love. It's not just because they're more fun. It's because there's a spiritual magnetic pull. So Mordechai and Esther, he says, help to reveal a certain nekuda pnimis shebalev, right? A certain God awareness that was lacking. As again, as we learned yesterday in Rav Schwab, and I told you from the Sfas Emes. Lahu demaisa ora, ora. Ask me what light is. Light is Torah. Simcha. What makes you happy? What makes you happy? Simcha zuyomto. What do you mean? No question. It was deep connections to Torah and mitzvah. So that was revealed on Purim. That every Jew understood how precious he or she was. You know how that happens? It happens when people want to kill you for being a Jew. When people want to kill you for being a Jew, when you have a Haman or you have a Hitler, Yimach Shemam, who want to kill you for being a Jew, all of a sudden the Jew feels deeply connected to the Judaism. Because I'm saying, you despise me so much because of this. This must be a really special thing that it's somehow causing you to act this way towards me. Then if Yiddishkeit wasn't important, it didn't mean anything, so why was Hitler so like dedicated to wiping it off the earth? It must be that it's really important. So when Haman wanted to kill every single Jew, even a Jew said, why don't you kill me? You want to kill Mordechai? He's a big Talmud Chacham, I understand. He's a threat to you. I'm just a simple Jew. What do you want from me? You're a Jew and I hate you, says Haman. Right, what was Haman saying? What's he revealing to us in his hatred? He's revealing how special we are. He's revealing that the lowest Jew is more precious, right, than the most choshev official, like a Haman, in Achashverosh's cabinet. That's what was being revealed. And that's what we felt. Val shem zeh nikra adar, al shem adir b'marom Hashem. The strength of our connection to Hashem was felt in Adar, and therefore, says the Gemara in Beitza, as you go through life and you want to acquire things, again, whether it's, you know, physical things or spiritual things, make sure you always have planted in your life Aleph Dalet Reish, Adir B'Marom Hashem. Recognize the power of Hashem and recognize that the all-powerful one is your Father and He loves you. And build off of that. V'amr Huzal, Sha'isa, three lines from the end of the piece. If a person, God forbid, has a fatal disease, a person's deathly ill, choli, it's a chola, misukan, it's a sakana, God forbid. B'chodesh adar demazla b'hayshata adir v'chazak, nakel lo yoser shiyisrape v'lios bari ulam. What does he say? If a person is sick, Adar, which is a month of good mazel, it's a time of Adar, Adir b'marom Hashem, of feeling the strength of Hashem. A person, he said, who's sick, may have greater success being healed in the month of Adar. So try to tap into that, is what the Rebbe is saying. Try to be aware of that. if you're going to daven for a chola, now's a good time to kick it up a notch, because this is a month where, again, we could bring the strength of Hashem into our lives. Just to clarify and just to add a little bit more, and I know some of you know it already, but we'll share it, right? How do we understand the word Adar? I mean, the Gemara is telling us a pasuk, Adir b'marom Hashem. But the way that the Ma'or Einayim, very important early Chassidus Sefer from the Rebbe of Chernobyl, the way the Ma'or Einayim explains it, that Adar can be divided, subdivided into Aleph Dar. What is Aleph Dar? Who's Aleph? Who's Aleph? Hashem, the Alufo Shalolam, the Master of the World, the Aleph, the one and only one. Aleph. And what does Dar mean? To dwell or to live. So what does Aleph Dar mean? I should make sure that the Aleph, that the one who we sometimes think lives out there, is Dar, he dwells amongst me. As we're about to read this Shabbos, Va'asu li mikdash, v'shachanti b'socham. It's not just Hashem's desire to dwell around us, among us, but b'socham, within us. Plant in your nechasim. Plant inside yourself. Mishenichnas adar. Let the Aleph Dar enter you. Let Hashem be very much a part of your life. Hashem shouldn't be something that's all the way out there. That's not v'shachanti b'socham. What's Hashem's desire of building a Mishkan? The desire of building a Mishkan is, I don't want to just be a God of the heavens. I want to be a God in this world. Make for me a what? In the language of the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Naso, a dira b'tachtonim. A dira. Aleph dar. I want a dira. And where do I want my dira to be? In this world, and more specifically, in your world. Every person's an olam katan. Every person's a miniature universe. So Hashem says, I want to dwell not just around you. I don't want to have a casual relationship with you. I want to mamish dwell within you. I want to become one with you, Hashem says. Okay? Yeah.
This last line of the Mabla, right?
Fish?
Fish?
Yeah. Fish. Fish is, yeah, why? What are you saying? What's your connection to fish? Yeah, he's saying the mazel of Adar is a very strong mazel. So you're saying the mazel, in terms of the sign of the mazel for Adar, is dagim, is fish. Okay, so what do we know about fish? Fish are fully. What's amazing about fish is that where they live, they really live, right? Meaning, I started my morning in my house, and now I'm here. Right? And I've already stopped out of my office. I've already stopped off at shul. I've already spent some time in my car. Fish, the environment in which they live, their dira is their dira. They don't like leave their dira. They're completely what? They're completely enveloped by their dira, namely the water. They never leave the water. They can't survive outside the water. So maybe the mazel of Adar is fish, because again, if this idea of Adar is Aleph Dar, is to really live with Hashem, right? So like the fish whose dira is of an absolute nature, it doesn't leave its dira, can't survive outside of its dira. So maybe the same thing. Maybe the same thing here, right? That we have to swim, so to speak, like within Hashem. Yeah, so in Achanami, I go to different places. Sometimes I'm at work, sometimes I'm at shul, sometimes I'm at home, sometimes I'm on the road, sometimes I'm at the supermarket, sometimes I'm playing ball. Okay, I go to a lot of different places, but can I say with confidence that Hashem is with me every step of the way? That's the goal. Yes, Sir Tzvi.
Didn't we say last year something like a fish, they opened it up one time, like every animal, every fish.
You swallow the fish, right?
So how does that connect to
what we're learning with Al-Dar? Well, that was the whole point of that. If you remember, the whole point of that thing was the bitachon. The thing that you're chasing is not the one that you're going to get, right? It's the fish that you're not chasing that you end up swallowing. So yeah, that's a reminder that you could chase all you want, but you're not gonna catch what you want. You're gonna catch what Hashem gives you. That's the part. Yeah, Michal.
I understand how you could bring the Shekhinah of Hashem into your home, obviously when you're at shul or your learning environment. But how do you bring it into, I guess,
very plain things,
school,
right?
Or the workplace, out, or like when you're busy, I guess, grinding.
Right. It's an attitude.
How do you?
It's all in the attitude.
I mean, you could always say, "I have all this because of Hashem," but you're not constantly thinking.
Right. Yeah, there's a way. You're right. Meaning, as a starting point, you want to do it, you want to actually pause for a couple of seconds to think about it, right? Meaning to actively challenge yourself to think that. How many of us actively think that? Probably not very much. So the first step would be to actively challenge ourselves, right? To go to work in the morning and even, you know, to say under your breath a little tefillah just to say, Hashem, you know, I've got a lot of big things going on at work today. I know that you're the one who's really in charge. I'm going to do my part and I hope that you'll help me to have success. It's an amazing tefillah. If a person did that every day, that's unbelievable. So there's definitely ways for us to, again, to include Hashem a little bit more. But again, it becomes natural at a point. I mean, the way the Rav Soloveitchik described our relationship with Torah, we're not learning Torah every second, but there should always be some type of latent awareness of a connection to Torah. Why do I not make a Birchas Torah? So we're learning Torah right now, right? And hopefully we said Birchas Torah this morning. Great. So what happens? So we're going to learn this morning, we're going to learn. Then we're going to go to lunch. Then maybe we'll go to some classes. Maybe tonight, you'll sit back down, or late this afternoon, open up a sefer. You'll have a chavrusa, you'll go to a shir. So maybe you should make a new Torah. If you left your sukkah in the morning to go to work for 5 hours and came back and had a meal sukkah that night, you make a new leishiv basukkah. So why don't I make a new beer Torah every time I consume Torah? So Tosfos and Maseches Bos and Daf Yud Aleph discusses this. And the way the Rav Soloveitchik explained it again is the basic connection that a Jew always has to Torah. So even when I'm not actively learning Torah, the fact that I'm not, you know, doing it actively right now doesn't mean kind of close the book and put it away for good. I've closed the sefer, but, you know, I've left the sefer out on the table because as soon as I can come back, I'm going to come back. So even, yes, while I'm at work, I'm not actively thinking Torah, I'm not actively learning Torah, but I'm maintaining some type of soul connection to Torah on the level of nefesh, on the level of neshama, which allows me to immediately come back to it and say that I've never really broken away from it. Right? When I leave the sukkah, we assume I've left the sukkah. When I come back, it's a new mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. But what's being revealed to us from the way that we don't recite Birchas Torah more than once a day is that once I check in with Torah, it escorts me through the whole day. I mean, that's what we're saying in the morning. That's what we're saying in Shema. In Shema, we're saying the Torah comes with me wherever I go. Again, so it may not be an active awareness, but that latent awareness of Soloveitchik, I think, compared it to the awareness that a parent has for a child. Does a mother or a father ever stop thinking about their kids? Right? Of course not. Not for a second. But I can tell you, I'm not actively thinking about, you know, Zahava right now. Our daughter Zahava. I am now, because I mentioned her name. But until a second ago, I wasn't acting. But of course I was thinking, like, I'm always passively, latently aware of her, you know, of what she's up to. Yeah. Everyone just turn to page, turn back, just, we'll take your question in a second, but while we're taking your question, just turn to page 64, please, in the first part of the Sefer, for Rosh Chodesh Adar. Okay, let's hear. Interesting.
You just catch them.
Right,
so
right.
If you just catch them and throw it back in the water, it's fine.
Very
so,
interesting. Okay, interesting. Right, interesting. The way that fish are, the way that fish live and die. Interesting. Okay. All right. Does everyone see where we are? It says in the middle of the page in big bold letters, Rosh Chodesh Adar. So, you should just be aware that page 64 appears twice in the volume that you're holding. So, if you're looking at the first page 64, you're not going to see it. Okay. So, Shaval, keep turning. It's like in the middle. In the Shemos section, once you get to the Sefer Shemos, the numbers start over again. So right after Parshas Mishpatim, you have Parshas Shkalim and then Rosh Chodesh Adar, page 64. Okay? Anyone need help finding it? Don't be shy. Okay? Os Aleph. Rosh Chodesh Adar, Os Aleph. This was from Parshas Truma. You see it says, Kishachol B'Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Truma. You can see in the brackets. The Rebbe said this over on Parshas Truma, Tuf Resh Nun Gimel. What year would Tuf Resh Nun Gimel be? What year would that be? Nun Gimel is 93. Tuf Resh is the 1800s. Tuf Shin is the 1900s. Now we're in And we're Tafshin Ayin Tes. Okay? Fine. So Taf Resh Nun Gimel, Taf Resh would be, is actually 1840. Taf Resh is 1840, so plus another 53, 1893. Okay? So he said this 17 years before he passed away. He passed away around 1910, we said. Isa b'meseches tanis mishenichlas adar marbin b'simcha. We know from the Gemara in Meseches Tanis, mishenichlas adar, when adar arrives, we increase our joy. V'inyan ha-simcha hu lismoach b'Hashem b'mashe zachinu lios michelko v'nachalaso. What is the greatest simcha a Jew can have in this world? And why in Chodesh Adar is the simcha so greatly increased? So if you know what simcha is about, you'll understand why thematically it makes a lot of sense that in Adar we would feel a lot of simcha. What's the greatest simcha? Says the Yismach Yisrael, the inyan of simcha is to be happy over the fact that you are Jewish. Or in his words, the simcha lismoach ba'Hashem, to rejoice in Hashem, b'mashe zachinu, that you were zocha, lios michalko v'nachalaso, that you're on God's team, that you're one of Hashem's children, that you have a Jewish neshama. We say a bracha every morning. That's how sure we are that it's a zchus to be a Jew. We say a bracha, shalom asani goy. We say a bracha. Bracha is not a small thing to say. A bracha with shame and malchus, to say God's name, and to say thank you Hashem for not making me one of the people of the world. So of course the famous question is, why not say a bracha, thank you Hashem for making me a Jew? Why are we being so negative? So I told you once the answer. One answer is that what? That Hashem makes us not a guy. We have to make ourselves into real Jews. That's what one of the tzaddikim said. Hashem made you, right, that it should be obvious for you to not be like them. But if you want to be a real yid, it takes work. Hashem didn't make you, Hashem just gave you the tools to become that, but you got to work on it. Okay, but that's the greatest simcha in the world. So just pausing right here for a second. So why is Adar a zman of tremendous simcha? Because again, when else were we more threatened simply because biologically we were Jews and we survived? So we gained the deepest appreciation of the world. We are the Jewish people. That is the greatest joy. It was the scariest thing for a short period of time, but then it became the greatest simcha in the world. Kidichziv ki chelek Hashem amo Yaakov chevel nachalaso. Where Hashem's chelek, where Hashem's portion, where Hashem's nachala, where Hashem's territory, where Hashem's yarshim. We've inherited Hashem. We're His children. Like a child inherits the things of the parent, we've inherited the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We got His Torah, we got a piece of our soul from Him. Amazing. As it says in the Medrash, as cited by Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos, on the Pasuk, Zeh HaYom Asa Hashem. Right, we know the Pasuk from Halel, Zeh HaYom Asa Hashem, Nagila V'Nismacha. Eini Odeya Im BaYom Im BaHashem. So the Pasuk says, this is the day that God has created. Let us rejoice in it, or let us rejoice with Him. So says the Medrash, that's exactly the question. The Medrash says, are we celebrating Im BaYom, Im BaHashem? What are we celebrating? Zeh HaYom Asa Hashem. Right? We should celebrate, says the Pasuk. So what am I celebrating? Am I celebrating the day, a day of life? Or am I celebrating specifically the fact that Hashem gave me this day? HaVayomer Zeh BaHashem. Says the Pasuk, Zeh HaYom Asa Hashem. So focus on the Gila V'Nismacha, celebrate what? Hashem. Celebrate the fact that you have a relationship with Hashem. It's not just another day of life for a regular human being, it's another day of waking up with a Jewish soul. That's something that should fling you out of bed in the morning with great excitement for being alive. Ve'eichna vo'a shari ha-simcha zos lahakir b'chelak v'nachlas Hashem tamid. So how do you feel it all the time? Obviously there are times when we feel it. A Jew on the heights of Yom Kippur feels it. A Jew at the height of the Purim Suda feels it. A Jew on the day of his Bar Mitzvah feels it. A Jew standing under his chuppah saying, Harei ad mekudesh asli kadas Moshe v'Yisrael, to his spouse, he feels it. He realizes that the Jewish way of getting married and the Jewish way of living my life. But there's regular days also. So how do I increase my simcha of feeling the Jew, feeling like a Jew, a proud Jew? So let's just think very simply. If you were the only Jew Yeah, let's say on a secular college campus. So how would that make you feel? So one of two possibilities. And they're both true. It could make you feel really proud of your Judaism. I'm the only Jew here. But also, when you're surrounded by people who are not practicing, you know, Judaism and are not connected to your values, it's also very easy for you to be, you know, almost embarrass them. And that's why, unfortunately, sometimes people, when they're in non, you know, Jewish environments, it becomes very destructive to their Yiddishkeit. So what's a Jew? Is it easier to feel the pride of being a Jew when you're with your friends in yeshiva? Or is it easier to feel the simcha of being a Jew when with your non-Jewish colleagues at work? And the answer is, of course, it's easier to feel the pride of being a Jew. Again, there's a certain depth you could feel amongst, you know, the non-Jews. But there's a certain pride that comes out, and comfortability and genuine joy that one should have with their Yiddishkeit when they're amongst their fellow Jews. So therefore, what is one of the major themes of Purim? Achdus. Right? Mishloach manos ish l're'ehu. The binding and the bonding of Jews. says the Yitzmach Yisrael, how do we come to recognize this simcha all the time? Hu al yedei avas reyim v'achdus in b'nei Yisrael. Deepen your connections and your appreciation of other Jews, and memela, automatically, you'll appreciate your connection to your own Judaism. U'kasher mevuar b'pasuk b'megillah. And it's so obvious that Haman is not only trying to kill us, he's trying to what? He's trying to tear us apart from one another. D'kitrug zeharasha yimach shemo. What did Haman yimach shemo say about us? He said, yeshno am echad mifuzar u'mifurad. You remember this pasuk in the Megillah? When he comes to Achashverosh, there is one people who are mifuzar mifurad, that they're scattered throughout the land. Some Jews here, some Jews there. Right? Some Jews here, some Jews there, mifuzar mifurad. That's like the famous Jewish joke. You know, a Jewish guy is stranded on an island and someone finally comes and they save him. They see that he's, you know, he built himself a shul. So they ask him, how did you survive here? He said, you know, I maintained my connection to my... He shows them the shul, and then as he's showing the shul, the person says, well, what's that building over there? He says, oh, that's the other shul. So he said, what do you mean the other shul? You're the only person on this island. So he said, the Jew needs to have a shul where he dies and the shul that he doesn't go to. You also have to have a shul that you don't go to, you know? Okay, like they say, two Jews, three opinions. So Haman understands that Jews sometimes can become very divisive. So Haman's trying to play into that. And Haman understands how lethal that is, how poisonous it is to the Jewish spirit. Yeshno am echad. There's a one nation that's mifuzar u'miforad, that is scattered and divided. Scattered is a reference to what? To our geographical scattering. Divided is in terms of our thinking. Haynu shekol hayeshios va'eichus va'eichus me'am azeh einu el ha'achdus shebeinehem. What gives us yesh? What gives us existence? What gives us eichus? What gives us quality? The quality of the Jewish people, excuse me, says the Yismach Yisrael, is entirely dependent upon our achdus. Asher heima, as Haman himself points out. How did Haman refer to us? Yeshno what? Am echad. There's a nation that's supposed to be am echad, but they're mifuzar miforad. Haman wasn't only talking to Achashverosh, he was being like the satan, being mekatreik to Hashem. You call this an am echad? This is a united people. Look how different they are from each other. V'kiyadua ma'amaram zal, doro shal achav hayu ovde avodah zarah. We're in the last line of the right-hand column. The generation of achav were people who were ayin, ayin, zayin. It stands for ovde avodah zarah. U'lefi shaya achdus b'neihem nitzolu. Despite being such a what? A wicked generation of idol worshippers. But people got along with each other. And you know what? That turned out to be a merit for that generation. They were spared much of Hashem's punishment because Hashem at least saw that they were, what? They were united with one another. That's why, by the Migdal Bavel, what did the Kodesh Baruch Hu do? Hashem changed up all their languages and scattered them, right? Why didn't Hashem just punish them because they're waging war against God? Why did Hashem have to, like, you know, separate them? You know why? Because even if you're waging war against God, if you have achdus, Hashem respects something about that. It's impressive that you're united. You're united in fighting against me. So what does Hashem have to do first? He first has to break up their achdus. change their languages, spread them out a little bit. Because that's the power of Achdus. That's what this Gemara is saying. That's what this Medrash is saying. I think it's Yerushalmi also. The Medrash is saying that the generation of Achav, even though they were over the Avodah Zarah, but they were united. Aval Ata Hema Mefuzar Mefurad. Top of the left column. But now the Jews are what? Mefuzar Mefurad. They're not getting along. Beineyem Pirud Levavos. Amongst them are divided hearts. Now is the generation where what? Haman says to Achashverosh, you can defeat these Jews. When they don't work together, they're much more susceptible to harm. Kedoro shel Chizkia, like the generation of Chizkia, where there was much more Torah learning and much less of Avodah Zarah, but also more discord amongst the Jewish people. Ukishashama Esther Zeh. So how did Esther fight against Haman? How do you fight against Eli get together? And therefore Esther says to Mordechai, she attacking Adavar. Amr lo, she says to him, Leich kinos kol Yehudim. Like our Sement shared earlier this week, gather together the Jews. Bring Jews together. That's our best weapon. It's our greatest defense. Hainu shetichoneis osam leknufio v'aguda achas. Help the Jews become one assemblage. Let them come together. Liyachid levavam leechod. Vitsumu alai, and fast on my behalf, united for the cause. Haynu shekol hatzomos v'zaakosam yeh ba'adi lo ba'adam. She says, let all of the cries be what? Everyone should daven for Esther. You understand? Esther's saying, I know I could tell the Jews daven because Haman's trying to kill you, but then you know what happens? Then each person davens, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. Every man for, or woman for him or herself. So Esther says, no, it's tzuma alai. We need to have a common mission. Everyone daven and fast for Esther. Let's all do the same thing. Yeah? Of course, Esther, if you look at her name, if you understand that what? If you understand that Adar is Aleph Dar, yeah? So what's Esther? How do you understand the name Esther? It's the Aleph Seser. What does that mean, Aleph Seser? Right? It's the hidden God. It's when Aleph is Seser. It's when Aleph, when Hashem, is in a state of concealment. How many times does God's name appear in Megillas Esther? 167 psukim? Zero times. It's a time of Hester Panim. It's a time of divine concealment. But Esther says, come on, we got to bring Hashem, we got to unite. If we unite, Hashem will reveal Himself to us. And of course, Hashem did and brought about that amazing salvation and saves Klal Yisrael. Okay? And that's what the Gemara says in Har Masecht and Bava Kama Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph. Rashi quotes it in Chumash. Hamispalel ba'ad chavero. If a person davens for someone else, your tefillas are much more quickly answered than if you just daven for yourself. V'zehu inyan avas harayim ha'amitim. And this is the true meaning of what it means to love one's fellow Jews. Yeah, quick question. Okay. Okay. Exactly. Beautiful. Beautiful. If Purim is supposed to be seen as the Gemara sees it in Maseches Shabbos as what? As the reacceptance of the Torah. So just like the original acceptance of the Torah was what? Ki'ish echad b'leiv echad. So too, of course, when the Jews came together the way they came together on Purim, of course, that itself is going to create the possibility of reaccepting the Torah, a new connection to Torah. Okay, very good. Now he connects it to Parsha Shkalim. Okay, into the concept of Shkalim. Of course, the first of the four Parshios, the special additional Kriyas HaTorah installments that we have this time of the year, is Shkalim. Since this year we have a lengthier other season, double other this year, right? So things get spread out a little bit more. Okay, but usually as we enter into other, we enter into Parsha Shkalim. Okay, what is the nature of the Shekel? So he says, if you look in the Mishnah in Shkalim, we're in the bottom left-hand corner on page 64, the Mishnah in Shkalim says that on the first of Adar, we start announcing, bring your Shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash. People were expected to make a half shekel donation to the Beis HaMikdash. So they would announce, Mashmi'in al HaShkalim. Says the Talmud Yerushalmi, what does Mashmi'in mean? Machrizin. Achrizin, we make pronouncements. Bring your shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Mashmian is an interesting lashon. Mashmian. Like, make it heard. It would make more sense to just say, Machrizin. We announce. We announce that it's time for shkalim. Why is it talking in a roundabout way? So says the Yismach Yisrael in the last line on the page, Ulam inyan machasis ha-shekel kvar dibarnu. Shemerumas, top of page 65, al-achdus. Of course, the lesson of the half shekel is also a lesson in achdus. This is found in many, 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 many Chassidus Svarim. Many of the Svarim explain this idea, but it's already found in earlier sources. He says, Kemuvuar, b'sefer Rabbeinu Bachai, and the Al-Shech HaKadosh, Shemerumas, Shekol Echad ve'echad mi Yisrael enol shalem bilti im yischaber es atzon chaveiro. What's the idea of a half a shekel? Rabbeinu Bachaya says it, the Alshech says it, many, many Sefer Chassidus say it, Yismach Yisrael is saying it right now. So many Sfarim talk about this idea. What's the idea of the half shekel? You know what you're saying? And I'm bringing it to the base of Mikdash, I'm connecting it to God. What I'm saying is, as much as I want to be complete in my connection to God, I'm only half a shekel. That could be an insight into why it's so important to keep growing in Avodas Hashem. There's always more to learn, okay, true. But also the idea of my half shekel is that what? I bring a half shekel, and you bring a half a shekel. And together, when I unite with you, then we'll be able to make a whole shekel. So from the beginning of Chodesh Adar, as we make preparations for the battle against Amalek, Haman, Purim, Leich Chinos Kol HaYehudim, right? Again, the theme that we're trying to emphasize, whether it's getting together for Purim Suda, whether it's Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'eyu, whether it's giving a half a shekel to acknowledge the fact that I'm only a half and I need my fellow Jew to help me to be whole. I need to be loyal to my Chavrusa. My Chavrusa needs me and I need him. Right? We need each other. So again, it's meramis to the fact that every Jew without his friend is only a half a shekel. Vishneyam yachad heima kli shalim. But when two Jews come together, then we have something wholesome. Aval echad below chaveiro eino ki im machsis. But a person without his friend is only what? Is only half a shekel. He's only a half. That's why the Gemara uses such a strong expression in Maseches Tanis. O chavrusa, o misusa. You've heard that Gemara before? Famous line, O chavrusa, o misusa. What does it mean? Either a chavrusa or death. Right? Meaning my friends are life itself. I told you once, Avart, from the great Baal Musar of Isaac Shur. He said that when Eov is being tested by the Satan, say for Eov, the Satan says, I want to test out Eov. Hashem says, you can do whatever you want to him except for kill him. Right? So what does the Satan do? With Hashem's permission, Eov's family is killed, and Eov's body is wrecked, he's terribly ill. But you'll notice, one of the major themes in Eov is that Eov has friends. Eov has his friends who come, and they sit and they philosophize. That's the whole Sefer is. These long-winded conversations, these late-night fireside chats, right, between the suffering Eov and his friends who are trying to talk theology and philosophy with him. So said Rav Isaac Shur, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Shur said, I don't understand. I thought he's allowed to take away everything from Eov other than his life. No, what do you see? Friends can mamash be life. A good friend can mamash be life. Hashem took away Eov's wealth, he took away his family, he took away his health, but he left his friends because he's not allowed to take away his life. And that's exactly what that Gemara means, Maseches Tanis. I don't think Rav Shur quoted it. Right? But I think that's exactly it. O chavrusa, o misusa. If I don't have friends, then I'm a dead man. I'll never survive. It's so true for so many people spiritually. So many people, when they're connected to good friends, it's such a meaningful springboard for religious growth. And when you start hanging out with the wrong crowd, it's a death sentence. It's a spiritual death sentence. So that's the message of the Machasis HaShekel. The Machasis HaShekel is a message of what? Is a message of achdus. There's a lot more in this piece, but I want to get to one more small piece before we run out of time. So we'll stop here with that piece. And again, he continues to develop this idea of achdus as sort of the way to come to the Simcha of Adar. And again, through the Megillah and through the Halachos of Purim and through what all the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, it becomes very obvious that it's a major, major theme. And again, it helps us to deepen our Jewish pride and that sense of awareness that I am Hashem's chosen one. I'm Hashem's child. That's the biggest simcha in the world. And Chodesh Adar brings that out. Okay? Last piece for today. Take a look in the bottom left-hand corner on page 65, Os Beis. We'll do one more little piece for Adar. And we'll have to get to Truma some other time. I don't know. Too much in the world. What are we supposed to do? No, Velva, what should we do? Learn more, okay. All right, Tziruf Shem HaNichbad HaMechodesh HaZeh. Okay, so unless your mom has just joined recently, you know about this idea. But for everyone who's here, we'll just review it quickly. Every month has a name of Hashem that corresponds to that month. What does that mean? Hashem's most basic name is Yod Kei Vav Kei. How many times does it appear in the Torah? We don't have that number down yet, so we got to get that number down. How many times does Yod Kei Vav Kei appear in the Torah? 1820. Okay, 1,820 times, which is about what? One in every three psukim. Okay, Hashem's name appears a lot in the Torah. Yud Kei Vav Kei. How many different ways could you rearrange the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei? 12 different ways. So the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, the Sefer Yetzirah already tells us, early Kabbalistic work, that every month has an arrangement of God's name that corresponds to that particular month. Okay? What is the arrangement of the letters of Hashem's name for the month of Adar? So let's read the words again inside. Tseiruf Shem HaNichbad. Tseiruf means the rearrangement. The arranging of the Shem HaNichbad, of the holy name. The arrangement of the honored name of Hashem. That's Meir B'chodesh HaZeh, that illuminates this month. Hu Hei, Hei, Yud, and Vav. The name of Hashem for the month of Adar is Hey, followed by another Hey, followed by a Yud, followed by a Vav. Okay? Just to remind ourselves, what month is Hashem's name in order, perfectly in order? Nisan. What month is Hashem's name completely backwards? Tammuz. Okay? What is the name of Hashem for the month of Adar? Hey, Hey, Yud, and Vav. What does that mean? Well, let's see. V'yotze me pasuk is hinted to in a pasuk in Parshas Vayichi. It says, Oisri lagefen iro. Now you'll see this pasuk is completely about the vineyard and wine, which makes a lot of sense. Purim is definitely a yomto that has to do with wine. So, Oisri lagefen iro, Oisri, matir asurim. He ties to the vineyard, to the vine, Iro, his donkey, v'lesoreka b'ni asono. And he tied the soreka, l'soreka b'ni asono means like the young donkey, the young foal. Soreka also is some part of the vine, the vineyard. So he attaches his donkey to the vineyard. Okay, there's a lot of deep stuff going on in that pasuk. Can I have the chumash for a second? Yeah, maybe it's Mashiach's donkey, maybe Purim is somehow connected deeply to Mashiach, the wine, the vineyard, the drinking of Purim, Adela Yada, isn't that the highest level to admit that we don't know anything about Hashem, despite all of our commitment to learning and more learning and more learning, to be able to say, the more I learn, the more I know you, Hashem, and simultaneously, the less I know you. Right? As the Svarim say, the tachlis of Yediyah, the purpose of learning is to get to a point where I say, I just... complete surrender to God. Where is this pasuk? It's the bracha of Yehuda. Yehuda, right? Yehuda, Malchus, Mashiach. Right? By the pasuk of Yehuda, it says, Yehuda, your brothers shall acknowledge. You, your brothers shall acknowledge. Your hand will be at your enemy's nape. Your father's son will prostrate themselves to you. A lion cub is Judah. From the prey, my son, you elevated yourself. He crouches, lies down like a lion, and like an awesome lion, who dares to rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a scholar from among his descendants, until Shiloh shall arrive, and his will be an assemblage of nations. Right? Interesting. Yehuda, the pasuk says what? He'll be an assemblage of nations, the gathering of people. That's Purim. That's what we're talking about. He will tie his donkey to the vine. To the vine branch, his donkey's foal. He will launder his garments in wine and his robe in the blood of grapes. That's the end of the pasuk. Red-eyed from wine and white-toothed from milk. That is the very messianic bracha that Yaakov Avinu gives to Yehuda. Okay? So contained within that phrase, Osri Lagefen Iro, he ties his donkey to the vineyard, to the vine, Vilisoreka Bini Asono, and he ties the young donkey to the vineyard. Right, what do you see? Where is the name of Hashem hinted to in these four words? Thank you. Where is the name of Hashem hinted to in these words? I mean, he gave us six words. But where is Hey Hey Yud Vav? You see it? Circle it, underline it, do something to it, right? Sofe Tevos. Iro ends with a Hey. Soreka ends with a Hey. Bini ends with a Yud. Asono ends with a Vav. Hey Hey Yud Vav. A pasuk about wine. A pasuk with many messianic undertones, and the pasuk that apparently corresponds to the month of Adar, Aleph Dar, where we're bringing God back into our life, in a time of Esther, Aleph Seser, when God is hidden. It's everything we're going through. Purim is very much our Yom Tov. I say our Yom Tov, I mean us Jews living at the end of time, believing that, you know, world history is just in its final stretch before Mashiach comes. Hard for us to imagine sometimes when I'm just sitting in a marketing class. Okay, so we have to rouse ourselves from our dogmatic slumber. What a great philosopher. We got to wake ourselves up and think about, yeah, Mashiach's coming today. Okay, not so easy to believe sometimes, but we got to work on it. So says the Yismach Yisrael, Hinei noda desofei tevos merumazim ledin. When you have a hint to Hashem's name at the end of words, sofei tevos, last letters in words, that's usually worse than when you have Hashem's letters hinted to in the first letters of words. Sofei Tevos versus Rashi Tevos. Rashi Tevos, like again, the month of Nisan we said is Hashem's name in order, Yudke Vavke. What's the pasuk for Nisan? Yismuchu Hashemayim Visagel Haaretz. Is it Rashi Tevos or Sofei Tevos? Rashi Tevos. Yismuchu Yud Hashemayim Hey Visagel Vav Haaretz. So when you have God's name at the beginning of a word, the first letters, that's usually a more positive sign. If you have God's letters hinted to at the end of words, it's usually merames to midas hadin. It's not a good thing. Okay. What else did we learn when we learned the piece for Shvat? We learned that which letters in Hashem's name are din letters, and which letters are chesed letters. Which are negative letters, which are positive letters, so to speak. What are the stronger positive letters of Hashem's name? Yud and Vav. What are the more Midas Hadin letters of God's name? The letter Hey. So he writes here, V'im gam ha-heyin kodmim el Yud Vav, when Hey becomes before Yud Vav, if a Hey is in front of a Yud and a Vav, that so to speak means that the Hey is dominating the letter that comes after, right? The one who comes in first place is the one who's stronger. So if the hey precedes a yud, or a hey precedes a vav, that's a sign that midas hadin is stronger than what? Than the midas hachesed. So now, someone try to tell me, what do you think the pshat is in the month of Adar? It starts off hey hey, but it ends off yud vav. No? Nani, what do you say? Starts off really bad. It starts off with Haman about to murder the entirety of Klal Yisrael. But in the end, it becomes Yud Vav, letters of pure chesed. It becomes what? It becomes the greatest simcha in the world. Mishadich lezadar marbim b'simcha, the greatest joy, the greatest salvation. The ultimate what? Vinahafachu. The ultimate vinahafachu, where things are completely transformed, turned around, inside out and upside down. So look what he says here. If the hey comes before the yud vav, azai tigvayres hadinin rachman alitzlan. That's a sign that what? That midas hadin is stronger. That's why it's out in front. The letter hey comes out in front. Ulahavin ha'inyan al pi maimra kasuv. But we can understand this matter based on the pasuk. Va'chodesh asher what? Nehapach. This is a month that what was nehapach, was transformed, was completely transformed. It was transformed, says the Pasuk, miyagon lesimcha. From mourning, they were literally mourning themselves. They were dead. They thought it was all over. To the greatest joy. Sha'achodesh nishapech la'ach tov. It went from being the most midas hadin in the front. Double hay. Double hay means kulo din. But by the end, and it's mamish, it switches at the midway point of the month. When did the Purim take place? The 14th and 15th of Adar. Mamish in the midway point of the month, everything changed. The whole flavor of the month changed. V'zochem l'ritzonos tovos u'lelev tov l'kabalas ha-Torah b'ratzon. And all of a sudden it became a time of feeling divine favor, of re-accepting the Torah willingly. Mashallah ayu zochem amayim at Har Sinai. They went beyond what they experienced at Har Sinai. V'ainyan hu. The matter is understood. She'ad ata. Ayin ayin stands for ad ata. She'ad ata hayim u'rav rabitov. Until now, the ra, the evil, the negative, was mixed in, was blended in with the tov. Uvachodesh hazeh, hara nizra hal'a, v'nishar ach tov. But when Chodesh Adar came, what happened? The ra was cast aside, Haman was killed, Amalek was defeated, and the tov, the true tovim, the Jewish people, emerged. That's what it says. Here's our last point for today. That's what it says, five lines from the bottom, when the Gemara in Megillah says, what happened? How did the Jews get into this mess? Shalu Talmidav es Rishon Bar Yochai. Rishon Bar Yochai's students asked him, "Mipnei ma nischayvu Yisrael shaba osu adar kolaya?" Why were the Jews of that generation worthy of destruction? How did it get to be so close? What was our aveira that we almost got killed? Mipnei shenenu misudaso shal osu rasha. Because they delighted, they enjoyed the party of Achashverosh. Hainu. Even though they were forced to go to the party, says the Yismach Yisrael, read the Gemara carefully. Were they punished for going to the party? That's not what the answer was. The answer was what? Shenenu misudaso shal osu rasha. They enjoyed the suda. They had to go or the king would have killed them. But you didn't have to enjoy it. You didn't have to celebrate it. That was probably the worst party the Jewish people ever went to. The worst party we ever went to in history. Tell me a party that was worse than that. So say, Rebbe, you don't know where I hung out in high school. I'm telling you, this was the worst. I'm telling you. The worst party in history was that Jews went to a party celebrating what? What was the party celebrating? Celebrating the fact that God will not save the Jews. Hashem gave a nevuah. After 70 years of Galus Bavel, what's going to happen? You're going to be redeemed. Achashverosh, says the Gemara, counted the 70 years, said the 70 years are up, God has forever abandoned the Jewish people, let's celebrate that. And Jews went to the party and celebrated, enjoyed the party. They were celebrating what? The scariest thought possible, that Hashem could what? Detach himself permanently from Klal Yisrael. So Chevra, v'nahafachu, what is the celebration of Purim? When you turn that inside out, what do you get? The party for Hashem that celebrates the fact that you could never separate yourself from Hashem. You could be drunk and not be thinking clearly, and you're still connected to Hashem. You could literally let go of your ability to think, and you're still, that's the whole point. Your relationship with God is not about what you think. It's not about how you feel. It's not even so much about what you do. Of course, we want to think good thoughts and do good things and feel the way a Jew is supposed to feel. But in Purim, we're Megala, we reveal the fact that what? We celebrate the fact that my connection to Hashem is much deeper than that. That I'm Mechelko and Achalaso. I'm Hashem's people. Turn the page for a second. Turn the page. So the chayit was not that they went to the party. Mishum shenenu. Sha'al kol parim lo hayitzrichem lehanos. They didn't have to enjoy it. Turn to the top of the next page. Uma gam ka'omram zal. Sha'ayu shosim b'klei ha-mikdash. You were using the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash for the most unholy party that ever was? Have you really given up that there's going to ever be another Beis HaMikdash? But of course, at the end of the day, Vina Hafachu. And the Vina Hafachu is captured, again, this is just really the last point I'm going to share with you today. You see where he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, 8 lines down? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I got it right for once. Rabbeinu Yonah, 8 lines down in the Gemara in Brachos. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, an amazing halacha, in his comments in the back of the Gemara Brachos, comments on the Rif. Shem nafal chaticha shal iser b'dvash. Ein ha-dvash aser. Afal pisha iser namuach b'soch ha-dvash. Kevin shederach ha-dvash lahachzir ha-davar shenafal l'soch ha-dvash. Kamo dvash daininan lei umutar. Fascinating halacha. We've spoken about it once in the past. What happens if a bee who's processing honey gets stuck in the honey? Falls into the honey. Right? And by the way, that's what happens sometimes. When certain bugs are trying to either eat the honey or process the honey, sometimes a leg or a wing, a piece of a bug can get stuck in the honey. What happens if a piece of bug lands in honey? You know what's going to happen as time goes on? It's going to be broken down by the honey and be transformed into honey. It's not only true about a bug, you can take a rock. If you leave a rock in honey, over time it'll break it down. Honey's very powerful. It'll break it down and what? It'll transform it into honey. Right? So can you eat that honey, knowing that there's a good chance that a piece of bug fell into this honey? And the answer is yes. Because once it's transformed, we view it as honey. The same way in halacha, a drop of milk falls into your chicken soup, it gets mixed in, there's more soup than milk, 60 times, not a problem. It becomes transformed into chicken soup. Right? Maybe biologically it's milk, halachically it's chicken soup. That drop is considered batel. So the same thing is true here. Right? It has the ability for something to be batel. So what happens here on Purim is that what? On Purim, all of the negativity of Haman, the harshest enemy, becomes what? Completely swallowed up. Completely transformed. To the point that what? To the point that if you look in the Rush actually brings, Haman is somewhat connected to this halacha. Because Haman said to Ahasuerush, when he's trying to speak bad about the Jews, if a fly falls into a cup of wine, what can you do as a Jew? You could take out the fly and you could what? And you could drink the wine. But Haman said in his evil ways, he said to Ahasuerush, but if you, a non-Jewish king, touch the Jewish wine, they won't drink it after that. Look how bad these Jews are. Right? So it's true. If the fly falls into wine, you can take the fly out of the wine and still drink the wine. If a non-Jew touches uncooked wine, non-mavushal wine, you're not allowed to drink it anymore. That may be true. But there's another halacha that's also right around there, which is what? Which is that if something falls into honey, the non-kosher thing could be completely what? Transformed. And that's what Purim is, Vina Hafacha. It starts off, hey, hey, Chodesh Adar starts off with the letter hey, the scariest, most threatening enemy of all time. But then, of course, it's transformed into Yod Vav, which are letters of Kulo Chesed, Ach Tov Liyisrael, the ultimate Simcha, the ultimate re-acceptance of the Torah, the deepening of our connection to our souls, to our Torah, to our God, to each other. What more could a Jew want in this world? So Mir Tzashem, we should be Zocha to really feel, to think about and to feel the unbelievable joy which is the essence of Chodesh Adar.